Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Stephen Lewis, and welcome to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Alaya Dow will be joining us to discuss the power of sound healing. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Dr. Nona Marie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fabulous, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Very interested to hear about sound healing. I think this is a very hot topic now, and we're going to learn all about it tonight from Alaya Dow. But before we get to Alaya, can you tell us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I work at Psychic Access with the most wonderful psychics in the entire world, I think. Everybody has so much integrity, and everybody really cares about the work that they're doing. And I work with predictive readings. I also do psychic readings for pets if you're having problems with your beloved furs or feathered friends. And sometimes do mediumship work. And it's a joy to help people, and I really love it.
Well, it's certainly a joy to have you on the team and to have you with us tonight, Dr. Nona Marie. We'll definitely be getting back to you after the interview to get your take on the material presented. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you, Stephen.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm always excited when it's your turn to bring a guest on, Maureen, because you slam them out of the park all the time. I'm always fascinated by whomever you bring on. So tonight, I can't wait to hear Alaya Dow. But before we get to her, can you please share with us what you do at PsychicAccess.com?
Yes, I'm an intuitive empath, tarot. I utilize tarot as my main tool, and I love my work. It can be very intense sometimes because I pick up a lot of information quickly because my mind goes fast. I talk fast. It makes for a good reading, but because I can tap in really deeply. But I love my work. It's what I must do, and I've been doing it for a long time. So,
Well, you're awesome at it too. I watch Maureen in action every Thursday evening, and I'm always flabbergasted at her sensitivity. So definitely check her out at PsychicAccess.com. But can you tell us a little bit about Alaya Dow?
Yes. Alaya Dow is a sound healer, energetic practitioner, minister in the state of California, doctor of oriental medicine in New Mexico, and a licensed acupuncture in Colorado. She has been an alternative healer for 20 years. Alaya graduated from Lewis and Clark University in Portland, Oregon, and earned her master's degree in Oriental Medicine from the Southwest Acupuncture School in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She presently lives in Santa Barbara, California, where she serves an international clientele as a spiritual guide and sound healer. So for more information about Alaya, you can please visit her website at alayadow.com, but we also, that's on the guest page as well. So, hello, Alaya.
Hello.
Hi, there you are. How are you?
I'm great, and it's great to be here with you tonight.
I'm really happy, real excited about this show and what you can share with us. Well, as a matter of fact, could you tell us about your journey to beginning, you know, in the beginning to a sound healer and energetic practitioner and spiritual guide?
Happily, my journey actually began at a fairly young age of being very empathic, very energetically sensitive. And I was really fascinated with the whole modality of healing, even as a child at the age of six. And then in my adolescence, my mom exposed me to massage schools and alternative ways of thinking. And then when I went to boarding school, I was just kind of the natural counselor that people would gravitate towards and look for soothing and comfort, even though I didn't have any formal training. And then I ended up going to Lewis and Clark in Portland, Oregon, and kept driving by this massage school. And I thought, what am I going to do when I get out of college before I can get my teaching credentials? I don't want to wait tables. I can't remember anything. And so I thought, I'll go to massage school. I'll become a massage therapist. And so my junior year in college, I went on and got my massage degree while I was attending college as well. So basically double majoring, two schools at the same time. And then my senior year, I started my own private practice as a massage therapist at the age of 21. And then after a year of having my own private practice, I realized that I wanted to go deeper. And so I went on and got my Oriental Medicine degree, Master's of Oriental Medicine at the Southwest Acupuncture School, and opened up my private practice after I graduated from there in Telluride, Colorado. And then in 2001, I had an enlightenment experience. And it was literally like all of these moments that I had been training for led to this huge shift in my consciousness, where literally in 35 seconds, my entire reality was different. It was like having x-ray glasses and being able to feel people's feelings and hear guides and perceive other realms. And again, there had been a lot of study leading up to that moment, but that shift in my consciousness took about 3 to 5 years to integrate. And now I have assimilated it and speak about these concepts that affect our life and how we can use the higher realms, our energetic self, to shift our reality. So that's kind of a little snippet of my journey.
Wow. I love it. I mean, so young too, and you kind of, everything just, it's interesting. Everything just went as it should for you.
As it should, not always easy, right? Lots of tears, right? Because when you're super sensitive, you feel everything and you don't know that it's not yours or whose it is and what's really being asked for. And so now at the age of 42, almost 43, I've got my feet pretty firmly on the ground. And
I know. Someday I will. And I'm even older than that. I still have a problem bouncing off that stuff.
But, and as soon as I say that one, I get upended, right? That's how it usually goes.
So what is sound healing, so our listeners can understand, what is sound healing?
Sound healing is literally just using your voice or sound or music to shift your vibration. It can be positive. It can be negative. It can be lower. It can be higher. And I first started having dreams of whales and dolphins coming to me in dream time, literally doing sound healing on me. And then after about a year and a half, 2 years of dreaming about the whales and the dolphins, I had a dream and the whales said to me, "Alea, move." I was living in Telluride at the time. So I woke up in the morning and I went, "Move, move where?" And I heard west. And so 3 weeks later, I got in my car and I drove west, and it basically took me a year and a half to find my new home in Santa Barbara. And when I did get to Santa Barbara, I would have dreams of the dolphins coming to me in my dreams and saying, "Alea, meet us at Butterfly Beach at 8 a.m. with your kayak." So at 8 a.m., I'd be at Butterfly Beach and the dolphins would appear and we would begin telepathically communicating and showing me how to use my voice, sound, toning, to shift my own energy, to spin it around chakras, bounce it off vertebra, and affect a change for myself and then eventually for others. And so sound healing, I think everybody is a sound healer. When we use our voice, we are affecting ourselves vibrationally with the sound of our words. When we use music, we're affecting ourselves. When teenagers are listening to that super hardcore, heavy metal, angry music, what they're really trying to do is get their power back, so that they have the capacity to stand on their own 2 feet when they move into adulthood. And so everyone uses sound, whether they're conscious of it or not, to shift the way that they feel. And sometimes it's positive and sometimes it's negative.
I like how you said about the teenagers using the harder stuff. You said it in a really positive way. I like that.
Yeah, they're getting their power back. And, for when you're young, it's your parents' responsibility to protect you and support you and love you. And we really disempower children a lot in our culture, and we don't give them responsibility for meeting their own energetic needs. We also don't typically teach them how to soothe themselves, meet their needs internally. And so when they hit the age of 12, which is when they're ideally supposed to stand in their own spiritual alignment, and start retrieving all of those responsibilities at an energetic level. That doesn't mean you don't still make them sandwiches and love them and tuck them into bed and make sure that they will look both ways when they walk across the street. I'm talking about energetic tasks and needs that we all need to figure out how to meet inside ourselves, and most people don't. And so as a teenager, the angrier they are, the more they're wanting to get that responsibility back for themselves.
Oh, I like that. I like how you put that. In fact, well, you know, we all of us, our energy is energy. Our whole bodies are made of energies. So how can... Oh, first of all, I would like to say I live in California too, and I the dolphins that you're bringing, I know the area you're talking about. I meet you at the beach, and I get a lot from the dolphins. Not in my dream, but I walk over to the beach where I live, and I live in San Diego, and it's so healing. And I just have a connection with them too, like no one maybe believes it. I don't care, but it's lovely, and that's really amazing. And the whales and dolphins, you said.
Yeah. They are the master sound healers on the planet. I really think they
absolutely
hold the highest.
You know, and they're like humans in water, I used to think about.
More evolved humans.
much more. Well, could you tell us about, I did check, you know, I was over, everybody check out her website, and after this interview I will tell you exactly again where that is, and also under guest pages listed, but I did check out about this. So could you tell us about the daily meditations and why you are doing them?
In 2007 my husband asked me how I could help more than the handful of people that were in my private practice, because what essentially happens after I'm in a location for 3 to 4 years, I start getting booked out. It's 3 weeks, 3 months, and it's like 3 years. And so I thought, how can I help more people than just my small clientele? There are only so many hours in the day. And so he asked me that question in 2007, and I contemplated it for 2 years of how can I share my gifts, my information with a larger audience. And I was driving actually down to San Diego, coming back from San Diego after a weekend with my husband, and my guide said to me, daily meditations. And I was like, what? I'm supposed to meditate more? And they're like, no, no, record daily meditations. And so now what I do is I tune into the energetic weather that's coming onto the planet. Every single day we have physical weather. It's either sunny, rainy, hot, cold. Well, we also have these energetic streams and light frequency coming onto the planet that can actually help us in our growth and evolution. And so I record 5-10 minute meditations that can help you tune into the energetic weather, use your energy field, your higher self, to help you in your growth and evolution. And so often we try to use our mind to shift our issues, our mind to shift our behaviors, our attitudes, and our consciousness. And my angle is actually using your higher self and your energy fields to shift your consciousness. It's not something that you actually even think about. You get your higher self to hold that vibration, your higher self does the work and then reflects it down to you here in the physical realm. So those meditations are specifically designed for your higher self, for your energy fields, gets those your higher self and energy fields much stronger so that you can start using this multidimensional resource.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. So anybody that goes onto your website can listen to these, and also on YouTube, I think. I saw them.
Yeah. YouTube has a couple samples, right. But people could go to cupsofconsciousness.com mm-hmm. to get a free week of the daily cups of consciousness, and it's kind of like an intro week, and it doesn't really speak about the energetic weather, but if you like that daily intro, then you can subscribe for very minimal amount.
Right. Yeah, so your website's I really like it, because it's very... Well, it's interactive. You can listen to it. It's lovely. I love it. Just saying. Alea, how do people shift their lives towards happiness or health and abundance?
The first thing to do is to identify one aspect, one vibration that you are really wanting to experience internally or externally. And a lot of the times we will use the outer world to reference point what we're really wanting internally. If I have a beloved partner, then I'll be happy. If I have enough money, then I'll be safe and supported and protected. If my family respects me, then I will be validated. So we can use the outer, but we don't want to stop there. So if you were to have what you want in your outer world, how would you then feel? You get that, meaning happy, safe, supported, protected, respected, whatever it is. You think about that vibration, that emotion, that level of consciousness that you would have if you were to create that externally. And then you keep taking it full circle and you invite your higher self to work with your energetic fields, the guides, to activate that vibration of what you want at the level of your higher self and in your divine line. And then you sit. You wait like a bump on a log, and you let your higher self do that work up high. That could be a request that you make every single day for 3 days, 5 days, 3 weeks, until your higher self reaches a vibrational frequency, tipping point, reflection point, and you start to literally feel those vibrations, that consciousness, that energy ebbing in from the higher realms to you here in the physical realm. I really think of the physical dimension as just the reflection. And so if we're shifting our consciousness, we want to do all of the heavy lifting and work at the level of the higher self, make our higher selves work, reflect it down. So that's the kind of basic formula for shifting your reality. But there's three components. I think of it as the sacred trinity. In the biblical terms, they call it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I looked closer at those three terms, I actually identified that that's the higher self, the body Davis higher self. It's the energetic aspect of the physical human form. And then your team. Your team are beings that encircle you in another dimension. So by getting you, your body, and your team to all hold that vibration of what you're intending, that creates this coherent field of transformation that then reflects into the physical dimension. And then you start having a different reality, holding a different vibration inside yourself, which then creates a different magnetic pull to you in the physical reality.
Wow. Yeah, are you talking about a team as in like people call it their guides or?
Yeah, your guides can act as a, your team can act as guides, but I think of the team as beings that launched with you on day one. Like, let's go down to Earth and have a big adventure. And you're all on the same track. You have similar agendas. You might have different resources that you can pull from, but you literally act as a group. And your team can buffer you. They can model right energy to you. And I have a little story about my team. A couple of years ago, after I met my husband, I was taking flight lessons and becoming a pilot for a little plane. And I wasn't doing so well. I was born with the dyslexia, which I think is the gift to perceive higher dimensions effortlessly. Easily, but the dyslexia was not a great asset while flying a plane. And so in my flight training, I would be constantly mixing things up and not being able to remember aspects of flying, and my instructor was slightly terrified pretty much daily. And it was a lesson, I think it was like Thursday evening, and it wasn't a very good lesson, and I went home pretty disheartened, and I said, team, you guys got to help me. I need all of you in Dreamtime to go and master flight, whatever it takes, however long it takes, and come back tomorrow morning with mastery of flight of a little plane. So they went off into their dimensions, and they all became master pilots, and they came back the next morning, and I drove off to the airport, jumped in the plane with my instructor, and completely transformed my entire ability to fly, because I was being positively, empathically impacted by my team that were encircling me and knowing exactly what to do. And she turned to me and she's like, oh my God, what happened to you? I guess integration. And I was like, yeah, and that's some, and some more angles, which I didn't share with her. But we can really use our team to help us, support us, buffer us, and inspire us in our journey.
Well, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us. I love that. Well, you know, what... I have so much more I want to just integrate. I mean, I know I have some questions here that we could, but we have a lot more time. I wanted to ask you about, is there a difference between, the sound, like crystal bowl sounds, or listening to that? Is it the same, what we're talking about with what you're...
I mean, all sound has the ability to shift the vibration of our energy fields, our cells, organs, bones, tissue, the water element in our body. So I really think that there isn't one modality that's better than another, you know, that crystal bowls are better than tuning forks or better than the human voice or better than drums. I think it really depends on what we feel called to. And I remember a few years ago, all I wanted to hear were crystal bowls. Now it might be all I want to hear are whales singing or a flute playing. And so we want to use our desire as the indicator of what kind of modality of sound is most appropriate for us, because it does carry a very particular vibration and consciousness. Drums are going to carry a different consciousness than a crystal bowl, and different types of drums will carry a different consciousness. So it's really about using the desire as the indicator of what's the frequency, the vibration that I need now.
So it could be individual for, or it could be a journey.
Individual
for some
and changes.
Right.
And changes.
So, well, you know, some people sound might, has I been, mean, I mean, yeah. Sound has been used as a healing force for thousands of years. I mean, like a lot of ancient civilizations use sound healing, mm-hmm. and even traditional cultures are still surviving. Their understanding is much more, I guess, much
intuitive.
More better.
Intuitive,
is that true?
I think that we try to get very scientific on the effects of sound in our culture. But I know that monks, right, they chant, and there's a story about these monks, and they were chanting, and then the chanting got, people didn't think it was important, so they stopped chanting, and all the monks started getting sick. And they started chanting again, and they stopped getting sick. So intuitively, yeah. physically, emotionally, spiritually, we know the power behind it.
And, you know, also about when they were, you know, when they were doing sound in water?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fascinating. Could you're more well versed in this. You know what I'm talking about. They did water and the different. You know,
oh, Emoto's work.
Yeah.
Right. And then he did a bunch of research where you basically place water in a glass or in a petri dish, and then you pray directly over that water. You speak to the water a particular word or sound, and then that actually creates a fractal image, sacred geometric shapes within the water representing the vibration of that word. And that's called Emoto's work.
Right.
Messages in Water, I think, was one of the books he wrote.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a movie, too, I think, about it.
Oh, there was. That's amazing, because that's almost like right in front of us.
I know, it's very obvious. And we think about the, you know, the words we use too, right? That impacts our body.
Exactly, it's our tone. Don't you take that tone with me.
Right, right.
No, but that's right. The person you said, I was looking at those, and it's amazing. Or you could put more love into. And how beautiful! I mean, just wow! But that's scientific to me. I don't know
it
about
is. That's
else.
Very scientific. And a couple of years ago, my husband and I went to Napa, and I started toning wine. Bad wine turned it into good wine, and so we can change the vibration of that which we ingest.
I like that. So you could have a really not so good Chardonnay, make it into a high end.
Exactly. I called myself the wine whisperer for a moment.
Well,
there.
That's a pretty cool thing to do. So this is a lot different than anything about deliberate attraction and manifesting. We're talking about something that's actually part of ourselves, which we are. Sound is. I mean, we when we're born, we make a sound.
We are, and we're always making a sound. Our cells are always making sounds.
So how could you help people that would say that they may not be self-aware, or be more mindful of some of the negative ways of not, or be more, you know, mindful of not, you know, just sometimes it comes naturally for some people because they're down or whatever.
Or they've had a traumatic incident that's happened.
Yes.
In a post-traumatic loop.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I don't know if this will resonate with your audience, but there's a technique that I use, and I think of, we all have a divine line. It's a river of light that flows within us. I call it the soul divine line. And then our body, physical human form, body deva, nature spirit, the horse you're riding on or in, has a divine line that actually runs through the spine. And we can invite our higher self and our body, Deva's higher self, to activate the vibration of the sound of our essence and the sound of our body, Deva's essence, in our divine lines. So literally, this tube of light flowing on the front of the spine starts to emanate with the sound of your essence. Your body, Deva, also has its very own unique sound of its essence that holds complete health, vitality, balance, connection. And we want the body, Deva, nature, spirit, to start activating the sound of its essence. And we want our energy self, our energy fields, to start listening to our essence and our body Davis essence and our team's essence over mass consciousness, over the fear, the news, the worry. And so you're basically just turning and changing the radio station you are monitoring to a sound that is pure and beautiful and exquisite and specifically designed for you, that you've spent lifetimes cultivating this exquisite sound. And all we have to do is begin to energetically, with our imagination, with our breath, our intent, listening to that beautiful, exquisite inner sound. And then you'll literally start to vibrate with this higher frequency sound that is more in alignment with your true consciousness, as opposed to the issues of ancestors, culture, humanity, trauma, pain, drama.
Yeah. You know, I heard some YouTube, your voice is beautiful. I listened to, well, can you tell everybody about you sing? I mean, your angelic singing is lovely. It is. Can you tell? Did you sing before? Or is this something that came together with this, sound, healing?
A little bit. When I was in boarding school, I was part of a band called the Yellow Submarine, and we sang a great dead tunes. And so I can't really say I was a sound healer, but I definitely loved voice, and I did sing in a play once or twice. I didn't ever have any formal training until I got to college. And my senior year in college, I was part of a band, and I wanted to get a little better. And so literally my last term, I took a voice lesson from one of the college professors at the music department. And in my first lesson with him, after the lesson, he looked at me and he started to cry. I said, What's the matter? And he goes, why didn't you major in music? And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't think my voice was that great. And he's like, oh my God. And so that was kind of the very first positive, strong push into voice. And then I kind of let it go, forgot about it, and picked it up again after that enlightenment experience, when I literally started hearing the angelic choir singing to me all day long, all night long. A little hard to get sleep, but they were singing, and then they started telling me to mimic them. And I would do that in the shower, in the closet, in my car, where no one else could hear. And then they said, Alea, one day you will tone, you will sing in front of other people. And I was like, you have got to be kidding. There is no way I'm going to do that. And then a few years later, I had a client on my table, and I heard my guides say, make the sound. And so I turned to him and I said, okay, this is a little out there, but I don't know what to do for your shoulder. We've done the massage, we've done acupuncture, I've done a little bit of energy work. Nothing's changing it. Nothing's making it better. Can I use a different modality and see if it makes it better? And he goes, yeah, sure. So I started making this sound that was less than pleasant, because it was the sound literally of the pain and the congestion coming from his shoulder. And then the sound started to change, and it became coherent and absolutely beautiful. And it was this very exquisite tone. And after about 2 minutes of me making these sounds, I said, okay, now check your shoulder. And with total surprise on both our parts, he lifted his shoulder up and he's like, oh my God, it's totally better. And so that was kind of the first moment of me stepping out of the closet. And since then, I guess now 10 years later, 12 years later, I have 5 commercially produced sound healing albums, CDs, and I'm working on 6 albums simultaneously right now, and they'll be done probably in May of 2015. So,
congratulations. Well, you know, like I said, I heard, I was just checking you out like I do before I wanted to do this, and I thought, well, you're the best guest I could bring on for sound healing. And anybody listening should just go to YouTube and put your name in. And it was lovely. I heard you.
Oh, wonderful. Great.
I guess singing. Would I call it singing? Yeah, singing.
It's kind of singing. It's I can give just a teeny little sample if you want for people. I'll do a kind of a lower tone, and it'll.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Could you?
Kind of grounding.
Oh, fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. It's simple, but usually on radio, lower, higher tones don't transmit that well. It kind of crackles. So
that's okay, but it gives us an idea. I mean, of what.
And so that's toning, and then I will use a little bit of light language. It's the language I use when I communicate with the angelic realm. And all of the music is conscious music. I am literally hearing the angelic choir singing, and then I am repeating what they are singing in the higher realms. And sometimes there's sort of this choir that happens, physical and higher, and it's all designed to help people access higher states of consciousness.
That's beautiful. We're going to take a short commercial break from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with Alea Dow in just a moment. So hold on, please.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, we're back with Alea Dow, and we're speaking about the power of sound healing. And Stephen, my co-host, would like to ask something. Yes, Stephen?
Yes, thank you very much, Maureen. I can't miss this opportunity to ask you. It's a question I've had for a very long time. I'm a musician, and I'm one of those snooty musicians that likes classical music. And I've always thought that classical music endows one with a higher consciousness, and I can't help but comparing it to rather more coarse and perhaps dissonant types of music that seems more widely popular. And it seems to me as if the popular music is becoming even more coarse, even more discordant as time goes on. You know, my father condemned Motley Crue. His father condemned Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry, both very benign and innocuous compared to some of what's out there now. I'm curious, am I a paranoiac, or should I be worried about the types of consciousness that merchants are attaching a value to and disseminating among the young and the old as well? Should I worry or not about that?
Well, I wouldn't recommend worrying, because that actually lowers your vibration. But we could look at it from the perspective of the music is helping us maybe break down old patterns that are no longer working. And so we are in a bit of a consciousness revolution, evolution. And I think that there is an intolerance that's building for unsustainable ways of being on the planet. And so the music might be, I'm crossing my fingers, a temporary bulldozer, demolishing unit that is helping us break it down, shift it, change it, and bring it into a more coherent field. And I actually think within 10 to 20 years, we're going to have kind of another Beatles revolution where we get this huge shift. And maybe your work, my work, is part of that beginning wave of energy, conscious music that people can really connect with deeply. And if we look at the discordant music that is out there and is popular right now, it's the demolishing unit that's come in that we've hired.
Well, you know, I have a person in the chat room named May. She has a very good question. I was hoping I could run it by you very quickly, Alea.
Sure.
She wants to know if you have any tips for helpers, those who are in a position to help society, teachers, parents, grandparents, those who work with children. How can they use sound healing and sound to do the most good?
I'm going to answer that question, and it's going to be kind of across the board, not just using sound, but using our behavior, our consciousness, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And I was actually in meditation about a year ago and was sitting and got this very profound message that whenever we are attached, desiring, or responsible for another person's reality, we actually drop our energy fields of coherence and transformation from 100% coherent to zero. So if I want to assist another person in my life, I would think about what I want for them. What's the energy, the consciousness, the behavior that I want them to be in? I would use that. Then I'm going to keep bringing it full circle, and I would lift all of my attachment, my desire for that reality for them off of them and back to me. Then I'm going to hold full responsibility for me being in that vibration, modeling it to them, holding a safe and loving space for whatever they need to be in, but modeling the solution, again, not attached, desiring, or responsible for their energetic reality, their physical reality, not depends on the age of the individual. Mm-hmm. And that way, we are modeling the solution, we're not disempowering them, we're seeing them from a place of courage, determination to grow and evolve, and at least we're holding the solution. And I actually have a YouTube on how to pray and help other people that people could check out that gives you those very specific steps.
Yes, that's I love the liturgical music, for example, in the synagogue and the Catholic Church and the mosques, you know. And I've always been curious about how religious music has affected religious behavior, you know, that link between spirituality and music.
In a lovely, controlling way.
Well, thanks, Maureen. I'm all tapped out with the questions.
No, thank you.
She definitely answered it to the core. Thank you, Alea. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad someone else has. You know, Alea, what is your... This is my... Well, everything's my favorite with you talking about, but because of the dolphins. But what is your affinity with the whale? I know you talked a little bit about it, but with the whales and the dolphins, and can you tell us more in depth about that?
I think whales are kind of more in the... I think dolphins and whales, you know, they're both cetaceans. And if you actually read about them, they actually say that dolphins are whales. And so there's not really much of a difference, but when I feel into the consciousness of the whale, they're not as playful as the dolphins. The dolphins, you know, they have sex like 60 times a day, and they're all spinning and jumping, and there is this sort of elated vibration when you hang out with them. It's definitely all about play. Whereas the whales have kind of a deeper core mission on the planet, and they are infusing very high frequencies with their sound into the waters that then affects the waters in our own body and on the planet and all the water that we ingest. And so they have a bigger job on some level because their tone can penetrate to a much deeper core. And I really think of them as sort of the ascended masters, the PhDs, professors on the planet. And if I were to create a religion, which I never will, at least not in this incarnation, I would call it whaleism. And we would really honor the incredible wisdom that these wise ones do carry.
I agree. Absolutely. No, nor would I want to create a religion or conform. Well, you know, I'm not putting down religions, everybody.
Well, it serves saying. A purpose for a time.
It does. But, you know, I just can relate so much because I just, with me and the dolphins, and I did a show many years ago here on Dolphin Woman, and we spoke about dolphins. And she brought up something very interesting about how, because I live in San Diego, there's Sea World. Well, I'll never go there again. In fact, I never had gone there. Never took my daughter when she's little. I know now why, because that's just awful what they do. Mm-hmm. With cat, you know, having they shouldn't be there, the whales and dolphins. But I started thinking, because I grew up on the water, the first time I ever experienced dolphins was when I was in Catalina. My dad had a sailboat, and they just came up, and that was part of how I grew up. You know, they just came mm-hmm. up and started hanging out with us. That was it. And I always felt just so a kinship to them. And so, like, I shouldn't be saying that, but when I'm feeling down or just when I want some peace, I walk over, like I said, I walk to the beach, and there they are. And sometimes they're closer to the shore. It was like last year recently they were. It's kind of like I feel such a connection with them. Beautiful. And it's maybe, you know, the sound or them. They are the PhD. I love how you say they are the PhD masters. Awesome. They are.
Yeah. And they hold such a beautiful vibration. And they do create a strong, coherent field of transformation. They're not attached to changing you or making you happy, right? They're right. holding all of their gifts, their wisdom, their mastery, their vibrations fully on themselves. And then what happens just by being around them, 100 feet from them, 500 feet from them, even a mile from them, your energy fields are being positively, empathically impacted. And I personally think that if we are 100% attached to our own internal reality and we're holding these high vibrations on ourselves, we have the capacity to affect 100,000 people or more simply just by being. We don't have to go do anything. We can be doing things in the higher realms, sending information, modeling right energy. But that's one way that we can serve that is effortless and easy in an instant.
And so we could collectively, it's like Jung, Carl Jung, collectively, the collective unconscious collectively bringing everything together if we just would be still.
just attached to our own internal reality. I mean, think about how we navigate in our life and, oh, I want them to be happy. Oh, I want them to like me. Oh, I want them to be more respectful. Oh, I want those people in the Middle East to stop fighting. Well, we're putting all of our energy and our desires externally. That immediately drops our energy fields of coherence, again, from 100 to zero. And then it moves us into high levels of empathic sensitivity because we put our attachment, our desire out. Now we're responsible for changing them. Now we put our gifts on them for changing them. And then we're left empty, feeling their pain and not using our own tools on ourselves and modeling the solution.
So that's exactly right.
Yeah. So I really think that the more we shift and are responsible for loving our own light, modeling energy, being only responsible for our own behavior, no one else's. I mean, we're all control freaks, right? Let's control ourselves in our own divine mind. Let's hold our control appropriately in the realm where it can be most efficient at the level of the higher self, in your core. Stay connected to your essence. Control that. And then the desire to control external goes away. And then we again increase our coherence. And then we start changing the world in a really positive, beautiful way that doesn't require the missionary or the martyr stance.
Oh, so eloquently stated. Absolutely. Boy, that was really great. Everybody hear that?
Okay. It took a long time to figure that one out.
But, you know, that's what how the journey works. But like you said, because, you know, being an empath, you know, picking up on all that stuff and not being grounded. So this is a really great thing for, well, everybody, but also for people that work in the work I do.
Definitely. And I think the more sensitive we are, the more empathic we'll be, and the more we have the capacity to really model a beautiful vibration. And, you know, some of my clients complain a little bit to me, oh, I'm so empathic. And anytime we're empathic, and I don't mean complain in a bad way, I have complained many times of how empathic I am, but figuring out this formula, this solution of how to deal with it, the more evolved we get, the more empathic we will become. Because every single time we feel another person, that means we actually have energetic information for them. They're coming over and to us and energetically seeing that we have a solution. And they're not asking us to fix their stuff for them. They're asking us to model the solution. And as soon as we start modeling the solution, sending them the appropriate energetic information from our higher self to theirs, the empathic sensitivity goes away. And it also builds compassion. So if I literally walked in another person's shoes for a mile, I know what they're going through. I'm not going to be judgmental and critical and unkind. Be like, oh my God, that's intense. Here, let me bubble up the solution. Now I'm going to hold a safe and loving space for you to be in whatever you're going to be in. You can shift it or not, but at least you have a safe space to be in with someone modeling the solution to you.
And with and being grounded as well. Because it's hard to be an empath grounded. And then a grounded empath is something. Do you agree with that?
And I think that the more grounded we are, the higher a vibration we can hold. And I know that when I first started meditating, all I wanted to do was go up and bring in higher, higher, higher frequencies. It was all about the upper chakras. And my bank account started to dwindle. And I was like, oh my God, I have to get more information. So I kept going up. And then one day my guides were like, the more grounded you are, the higher vibration you can hold, and the more you have the capacity to manifest. And I was like, oh my God. So I started basically holding 50-50. However big my crown was as big as my root chakra. And so being with nature, exercising, eating well, taking baths, really connecting in with nature immediately grounds us, as well as firmly attaching that divine line to the front of the spine, and then inviting the body, this nature spirit that has its own unique energetic system, to ground itself in its own unique way. We are just a rider in the form. And when we really acknowledge that the body has its own unique mastery, and then we let it to start, we invite it to start using that mastery, then we move into a more grounded way of being.
Yeah. You know, you're an acupuncturist, And do you, I'm just curious, are you still practicing acupuncture?
Only in the state of Colorado.
Well, when you did, I guess the question I'm asking is, it doesn't, I mean, whenever you might have done it, do you use any, or when you're, or anybody that you know of, like with acupuncture, have you done this in the past when Colorado, used sound with the acupuncture?
Yes. And actually, I still pull from all of the information that I have as an acupuncturist, and I will sometimes just simply hold a point and make the tone that I'm hearing for that point. So every acupuncture point has a particular coherent sound. Now, if there's an imbalance in the body in the meridian line, you'll actually hear the discordant sound, and that's really important to make that discordant sound and help it gently evolve into a more coherent tone. And so you can literally be holding points, you can be doing acupuncture needles, and making a sound silently or out loud, it all works.
So it works because it is it true, you know, every organ or every bone, every cell in the body has its own frequency?
It does.
So that, and I don't know if a lot of, you know, I've had acupuncture before, but that just sounds like it'd be just more beneficial too. I don't know if they teach that in school.
I'm sure they do have some courses in some acupuncture schools, mm-hmm. that talk about the power of sound and acupuncture points. It really, again, depends on the individual. Every client is going to respond to different modalities. Some people really respond well to sound. Some people respond really well to light, flower essences, acupuncture, massage, Rolfing. I mean, there's so many modalities out there. And again, wherever we are in our spiritual growth and evolution, we will be drawn to work with different modalities for a period of time. We get the vibration we need, and then we move on to a different modality to help us in our journey. So nothing stays stagnant, but using sound with acupuncture points is incredibly powerful. And I actually think, you know, as a sound healer, I think that we have the capacity to heal every single disease with sound. That's a pretty radical statement, but I personally have felt the effects of using sound and vibration to shift the health of the body from a distance, from thousands of miles away. Another practitioner is emitting very specific frequencies, sounds, codes, vibrations, and it positively impacts the physical human form.
You know, in fact, that's interesting. I wanted to ask you about, because you, you know, right now you have an international, I'm sure you have a global clientele, as a spiritual guidance and sound healer. How does it work well doing something over, people used to ask me that because of the, you know, technology, and I reach out to everybody on the internet, you know, but I'm not in front of them.
Right. I've been working with people, you know, for almost 21 years, and as I shift, grow, and evolve, the way in which I practice with clients, my practice with clients changes. And now I actually prefer to work over the phone or Skype with people, because when I'm in person, I don't have the distance, and so I don't get that huge bird's eye view. And also, when someone is in person with me, they are going to be more energetically guarded. They're not going to be as open as when they're in their own space, kind of feeling alone, even though we're on the phone or Skype. And so people will energetically reveal more when they have their own space and I have mine. So I actually find that we do deeper work, we go through more layers, more work happens when it's over the phone or Skype from a distance. Now that varies. You know, there's some clients who just can't drop into that place over the phone. They just really don't like the phone or the computer. Or somebody is dealing with a physical issue, and I do work with physical issues on the phone and on Skype, but sometimes I do like to get my hands on people.
Do you work with your own self? I mean,
oh, yes. Yeah, you know, I am practitioner.
Well, I guess you are.
I schedule like regular sessions with Alea.
So, I really, like I said, sound healing, it's been around forever, but it's become very popular.
Yes.
Right now.
Fortunately.
Which is
great.
It's great. I think it's fantastic. And in fact, I that's why I felt it was a good time to do this topic in the show, and you, again, being the best guest for it. But for yourself, I'm just curious, because I know not everybody is going to be able to do, you know, you're not going to sit there and heal yourself, because you're well-versed and an expert and professional in this for many, 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 many years. So you have actually been able to... can you give me an example, like, for instance, just an example of what you've seen and experienced by your own personal healing on something that you can't, you know, you can't deny it doesn't work?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of kind of the best example. There's so many, you know, when you have so many and you're like, which one do I choose?
No big deal.
For me, my angle... You know, I mean, I have a chiropractor, I have a Rolfer, I have a practitioner who works on me from a distance, not quite energy work, it's a little different than that. But my angle really is looking at consciousness and behavior and finding the root of where that's coming from. And I remember having this certain level of self-doubt and procrastination. And for 3 months in the higher realms, I was hunting for where is that really coming from? And it's interesting that I started to experience it when I moved into this one house. And, you know, when we're close to something, it's sort of hard to see where it's really coming from. So a year and a half into this behavior of procrastination and self-doubt, I finally got sick and tired of it. And I was like, okay, I'm going into session. And the session ended up being a 3-month session of me looking and scanning in the higher realms. And after 3 months of searching, I actually found that I had picked up the issue of the individual that used to live in that house, that built that house from, you know, like the 1920s and lived there for 30 years or however many. And I was empathically feeling the vibration of this individual. And as soon as I invited my higher self to release that vibration, to send the information to whomever it was I was feeling, to the owner of the original home, the behavior completely and totally shifted literally within 5 minutes, and it never returned.
Wow. So that is perfect. I mean, for me, saying that's a really great example. You know, we only have a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you, where can we sign up for a free week? For where can people, our listeners, sign up for a free, I think you said it earlier, but week of daily cup of consciousness meditations?
People can go to cupsofconsciousness.com and they can get a free sample week. They can also go to aleyadao.com, aleyadao.com, and you can sign up for a free week there. And on the Cups of Consciousness site, I also have a sample for a Tall Cups, which is an hour-long energy balancing session, 45-minute energy balancing session. It's more intense than, you know, the 10-minute meditations. So depending on what you feel called to do.
We also have everybody also on your guest page, which will be there forever. We also have your website on there so people can click on there. And so, Aleya, what is your next project coming up?
Well, I was madly writing right before the radio interview, so my book deadline for the book called Cups of Consciousness is due October 1st. It'll be coming out next year, and Sounds True just released my Light Body Sound Healing album, and it's also available on Amazon. And every 3 weeks, I do a live energy balancing session. It's called the Tall Cups of Consciousness, and I have one this coming Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time.
Great. In fact, on your guest page, we also have listed for people to click on your what you had on Amazon, the audio CDs.
I love that. That's great.
Right, the ones that you have out. Well, I'm real excited. And, you know, I would really like to thank you so much for joining us. It was really lovely. And I know we have a chat room here as well, and people are just really, really they're really taken by all this information and enjoyed it very much.
Well, it was fun to be on your show.
Yeah, so thank you so much and for joining us, Aleya, and have a great weekend.
And thank I hope you. To talk you to you too.
Again. Okay, good night. Bye bye.
Bye.
Wow, Maureen, thank you very much. That was awesome. Everyone, you can find out more about Aleya Dao at aleyadao.com. And that's aleyadao.com. Well, I'd like to make a few announcements before we open up the phone lines in a few minutes, about 15, 20 minutes or so, to get the free on-air readings. First, we're going to announce that number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. But I want to remind you that if you could not get last week's show, if you were unable to catch that show, on Psychic Sleuths with Gail St. John, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on Psychic Access Talk Radio. com under the Archives tab. Now, please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible. Also, please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you would like a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug in Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts, myself, Maureen, Nona Marie, Steve, all of us on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading with any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading from traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. All right, Maureen, back to you.
I love it when you say back to you. I feel like an anchor, you know, like in some big news thingy.
Got to give you the red carpet treat. You
say it to everybody, but I just think it's so, I like it. And back to you. But yes, so it's time to, I really enjoyed her. Some of the stuff, you know, I myself was trying to follow. My daughter, Mariah, is in the chat room, and she's right now, you know, at Columbia University getting for a graduate. And she was telling me that sound healing is one thing, like I said, has become very popular recently. So for me, I always think sound is cool. I like the sound in my voice now. Like music or, you know, all that. But I get confused when I go meditate. And you know how they have the, I don't know if you guys have done this, but you hear there are these brain frequencies or something. Do you know what I'm talking about, anybody?
You mean like the alpha waves? And the
Waves and stuff? Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a little bit different than what we were talking about this evening.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the brain waves might be like a result of the stuff you guys were discussing, you know, like adjusting your consciousness to certain vibrations. I think then a certain type of brain wave might emerge from that. I mean, that's what I was getting from it, maybe.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, but I think so. That's because those are, I don't know what those are, because they're called, it's almost like a, I don't know, brain frequencies, because we're talking about our own inner. She was talking about our higher inner frequencies. I don't know, Nona. What do you think about sound healing? I'm sure.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal. I think it was in the 80s. I went down to some place in Atlanta. Some old timer who used to do radionics had built a sound studio. So you would lay on a table, and he had speakers under your body, on the side of your body, and on the top of your body, and he would play music and sound that would literally vibrate through your entire body. And it was one of the most phenomenal experiences I ever had in my life. He had an engineering room, so he was behind glass, and you were in this room by yourself, and he would turn the lights down. And that was so many years ago, and I've never forgotten it. And I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. And when I do in-person work with people, once they get used to how strange I can be, I've also done things like putting my mouth on a part of their body, like the heart chakra or the arm, and making a sound like a gong sound or a note of some kind that will reverberate through the body. So I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. And even an osteopath I worked with in the 70s, he used to use a tuning fork, and he said every human had what he called a home note that was their tone, the tone of their soul. And he would find that and use it when he was healing. He would get the right tuning fork and put it on top of your crown chakra. He was about 70 years old. And I never met anybody else who did work like that. So I just can't say enough about it. I love that there's kind of a revitalization about it as well.
You know, I've heard of the tuning fork many years ago, and I love how you just said, I'm echoing a little bit. Oh, well. I love how you said that we each all have, so you put it, that sounds lovely. I would like to be, not very many people talk about tuning forks, and I can remember. But, you know, you're right. It's almost like it's come full circle back around again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's phenomenal. So, yeah, I have nothing but good to say about it. I love that she's doing this work. I haven't known of a sound healer except that man in Atlanta. I don't know if he's even still alive, and I would have to hunt down friends to find out his name. So I'm just thrilled to hear that there's someone out there. And plus, she has so much other training that's wonderful. In other words, she's not just a sound person. She has a lot of other background, a lot of other ways to use it. So
right.
She's brilliant. That was a great guest. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. In fact, I thought it was nice that she, some of the stuff, you know, like I said, some of the stuff I know that, because I'm not well-versed in this, but I know that sound healing has become so in right now. Again, like coming back full circle, it was before, but like I said, my daughter, and they're talking about in her Columbia program, master's program, suddenly she goes, sound healing, that's something we're talking about. My younger sister's been going in pain, and I don't know what she's getting or what kind of service that is, but people are, you know, medical intuitives are talking about sound healing, but it's becoming more and more, it's interesting. So I thought she was absolutely a high caliber guest for this, because like you said, she's been for quite a while, and she, I loved her story. It's just that that's the work she must do. And plus talking about the empath stuff, because that's so important. That could help me right. Calm down. But so, Stephen.
Yes.
What else do you have to say? Because you play music and such. And
yes, I am. Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, I mean, I can attest to the idea that vibration can indeed raise your consciousness, and it can indeed raise you to different planes of existence. For example, when I sit down to play the piano or play the guitar, and I'm practicing a piece of music by Mozart or Chopin or Beethoven, then for that practice session, I'm receiving instruction from Chopin, from Beethoven, from the music. I have something of the logic that the composer used, his thought process, and it's very much like having the composer with me. It's a Zen moment for me. It's sacred. It's extremely sacred. I've never felt such a presence in any kind of church or synagogue, and I've been in several of each category. Never felt the presence of God so strongly as when channeling music. And hence my question, you know, because to me, it's a you-are-what-you-eat scenario in terms of the vibrations that you consume and internalize into your body. And in fact, they are on your body. Now, as an astrologer, I'm also interested in this this theory where it goes under the name of harmonics. And you know, the tracking of planetary cycles, the interaction, for example, between Jupiter and Saturn. Every 20 years, approximately, they go through a cycle. And you know what? We can use that cycle to time out events in world history, wars and such, or certain ideas that are represented by that planetary cycle, with phases in that cycle marking out different levels of manifestation of that idea. And this also interests me. I think that what we were talking about tonight essentially dealt with the smaller types of harmonics that, again, reside within our bodies that deal with us on a personal, individual level. And, you know, it's also very interesting to go outward and see how sounds or vibrations and frequencies and harmonics, to see how these things interact on a much grander scale, and perhaps to get an idea of the ordering and organizing principle that could be behind that. It's quite a sobering and humbling act and activity to do.
It's just like Nona said, the tuning fork. Nona, I have not heard I had not heard that in so long. Yeah. And it brought, I reflected back, you're right. I remember that back in the time period you're talking about, back yesterday in the 1980s. Right. And I would like to find, you know, I wonder if they still, because that was really great. And I remembered when you brought that up, it would be a fork, a tuning fork, but it would actually give that person what their exact tuning frequency, vibration, whatever it would be. It wouldn't be the same for everybody, but it was the same tuning fork. Isn't that correct? How it was, as I can recall?
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, and as far as the dolphins and whales go, well, you know, that goes without saying. You know, I'm all for them. And, what's, you know, they have the sonic, you know, they use them for the military, the sonic, which I don't, I mean, you know, the sounds of a, what's it called?
Yeah.
Steven, you should know about it.
Yeah, it's like a radar, sonar.
Yeah, a sonar. Sonars.
Yeah, they are amazing creatures, aren't they? Highly intelligent, very social. And I think they probably deserve a lot of respect. You know, you see videos of fishermen abusing these animals.
I'm such an activist against it. I am very involved. It's awful because
it's terrible. Just
because, you know, they're so family oriented and they will help humans. They're so into their family. They're so into helping humans. They love humans. Shame on whoever they are. But I know, don't get me started. Don't get me started. But they do use them for sonar.
Would suggest to people that anyone who can treat a dolphin in that way can also treat a human being in that way.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We should never lose sight of that.
You know, I like how Alea talked about, you know, the collectively coming together and we could really change things. And another thing she said, which was really, you took a negative into a positive, some of this music, those darn kids, I never thought I'd say this. You know, because I vibrate to the Doors and old Joni Mitchell. So, I mean, that's my thing. But some of the music, the hard, like she was talking in the very beginning, the teenagers, but they're looking at that kind of thing will give them more of a person. She made it into a nice little positive, and I really love that. I never looked at it that way before. Do you guys remember when she was talking about that in the beginning of the interview? Well, if you don't, then listen up. On the archives, everybody listen to it. Instead of putting it down, because, you know, like we were talking about that guy that did the with the water and the intent of different sound or voice.
Yeah, now that was peculiarly interesting to me because, you know, I'm familiar with the, well, I'm not familiar with them, but I've read about those experiments. What I read were experiments conducted by the Japanese where they froze water while diffusing different types of music through it. A little Tupac here, you know what I'm saying, a little boogie woogie there, you know, a little electric boogaloo or whatever. And they compared the frozen patterns of the water. And of course, they noticed the differences between the different types of music. Now, what they inferred from this is what's most startling. From this experiment, they inferred that water retains memory. And the idea that, for example, the Rhone or the Dnieper the Dnieper. I don't know how to say those Eastern European rivers. Or the idea that a river can contain the memory of all of those who've bathed in it, all those animals who've been killed in it and eaten by other animals, etc. That's very provocative to me. Isn't that a provocative idea? And so, wow, I mean, the unfortunate thing about this interview is that, you know, we only had an hour to conduct it because, man, the questions
keep popping up,
you know what I'm saying?
I know. And that's why, but that, you know, actually, like I said, I spent some time on her website and she has some really great things because I was trying to follow exactly what the seven cups of unconsciousness and all that, and everybody out there that is listening, definitely go check out her website. About, you'll understand more. There's a tone of a dog right now. Must be my vibrational self right now.
He wants to be heard, you know.
He wants to be heard.
He understands that he's among friends here.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't even know it, or it's just she.
He intuits it. It's a psychic wolf. Dog, Maureen.
It's a wolf. It's a long wolf, a lone wolf.
Oh, let's hope so.
It's a beach wolf. Things. So, anyway, Steve, I don't know. Should we? Is it time for the call? Oh, I don't know.
You want to toss out that call-in number, Maureen?
Well, you go right ahead. You do your thing with the call-in number, and then we'll go back to our, if you want to.
You know what? I've got a habit of listening to psychics when they give me advice. But but I tell you what, let's see here. I checked my watch, and you know what? We don't want to get people lined up in the queue quite yet. You know what I'm saying? We don't want a traffic jam quite yet there. And plus, I just wanted to ask you a couple of additional questions, if you don't mind, Maureen, about how you got sort of interested in sound healing yourself. You know, what brought this to your awareness?
Well, I'll tell you how it did. It was because I kept hearing different people, my daughter, my younger sister, right. this dog barking out there, saying something like they've been doing the sound healing. This my younger sister, and she lives up in all Hollywood area, whatever, and right. She goes every week. And I didn't know this because I hadn't been really talking much, and recently I'm talking a little bit more, and I go, what, she's been doing it for 6 months? So I go, wow, it's getting a little bit. And then my daughter brought it up, you know, again, from, you know, she just started back in the court, you know, her master, you know, graduate at Columbia, and she brought something up about how they're talking, they just are focusing on sound healing right now too. And so I thought, wow, everybody's kind of talking about this, I want to bring this out. And then I went and checked out her. I stumble across people, you know, I don't know what I'm looking for.
Right.
And then I just, you know, stumbled, and I go, she's got something going on here. It's kind of cool. And it's different than meditation, and it is different than the brainwave, whatever, frequencies and such like that.
Right.
But, and, you know, so that's about how
Mariah was actually in the chat room, and she, wow, she had a lot of very, very interesting subjects to bring up in the chat room, you know, very interesting tidbits to divulge about this topic.
And, I missed those.
Oh, they were great. I mean, they made me ask more, you know, of course they made more questions pop into mind, but, you know, we didn't have two additional hours to pump Aaliyah for information.
But it is very important, like, and you know, Nona said, like, it's a good point. This is something that this is something that's been, well, actually, come on, you guys, this is something that's been going on for thousands of years. Sound, you know, sound healing has always been around. But for us people right now,
yeah.
Like Nona said, even in the 80s with that, you know, tuning fork, until she brought that up, it's like now it's coming, everything, it's funny how it comes full circle. It's like, there's other topics we've talked about before, and it's almost like, oh, these are not new, were going on, but they're kind of laid, I don't know, Nona, how would you put it? They laid down or something. I don't know. People.
Well, I also wanted to ask you, too, Maureen, about the acupuncture connection. You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't know if maybe the acupuncture harnessed some vibration or something of that. I don't know that much about acupuncture,
well,
actually.
You know, the reason why I asked you that question, because I've had acupuncture. In fact, my younger sister, who is into the sound healing stuff, she was a massage therapist, and she went to school in San Diego because for the Pacific, it's very well known, acupuncture. Anyway, so I used to be able to go up there and get treatments for a really good price because she was a student. And when I asked Aaliyah about it, because, you know, she does acupuncture, I was thinking, wow, it would be good if you, I think acupuncture is great if you, of course, have a good, you know, good one, and of course knows what he's doing, but I felt it was really kind of cool, and it was very interesting, but they didn't do any sound. So when I asked her what she utilizes it, or when she did practice it in Colorado, because she said she doesn't practice and she's not licensed in California, but she said that she did, and I thought about it, I go, that would really make a lot of difference, I felt, because I've had it done before, if there was some tone, because of every organ and in our body, it's been said by me, you know, it's been said that actually every organ or every bone or every cell in the body has its own frequency. So, and this, some of the stuff has been pretty well, you know, scientifically, come on, you know, it's kind of like it has. So when one organ in the body is out of tune, it will affect the whole body.
Yeah. So, I've heard such wonderful things about acupuncture. I just have to get over my mild phobia of needles.
Then you don't need to do it. Why stress yourself out?
You know, Stephen, they have laser acupuncture, and they also have laser auricular acupuncture, which is what I got for years, which is laser in the ear. So it's a light in the ear, and that's it.
Really?
Fabulous. Oh, it's amazing.
And you could detect an effect like the typical acupuncture effect?
Oh, my God. It saved my life. When I was really, really sick back in the 80s, no one could find anything wrong with me. That's how I got into alternative medicine. And I went to a doctor of Oriental medicine, and he did laser auricular acupuncture only. He did needles very, very, very rarely in some really tough cases, or maybe when he felt he had to go straight to a meridian instead of working through the ear. And that's all I used. And within 2 weeks, I was up and running. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, well, amazing.
Consider me interested then.
And my horses have had acupuncture, and one of them hated needles. So the veterinarian switched to a laser gun, and it worked.
Well, I'm definitely going to check that out. And for those of you waiting for the number at home, it's time. The number is 724-444-4851. I repeat, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So just relax and listen to the show while you wait, and we will definitely get to you. When you get on the air, we ask that you are clear and direct with your question, and we remind you respectfully that we can only take one question per person so that we can get to all the calls waiting in the queue. And with that said, we have a caller from New Jersey for Dr. Nona Marie.
Hi, New Jersey. What's your name?
Simone.
I'm sorry, say again.
Simone, S-I-M-O-N-E, yes.
Hi, Simone. How can I help you today?
I would like to know if I will eventually get permanent work. I've been temping back and forth since I was laid off 2 years ago with a very respectable bank. But I just want to know if I will eventually get a permanent job.
I think you will. I actually think you'll get one. It's going to be a while, January. And that job will only last a year and a half to 2 years. And then after that, you will get another job. It does feel like you're going to be possibly even moving after the year and a half job. And that's part of what's going on, is that you're not going to stay where you're currently living. And that's the reason for things being so unsettled, is so you don't get too anchored, or you get used to being unanchored. The other part of this, I would say, that is happening, that's kind of a good thing for you, is that to me, you tend to be very wonderful with the people you're close to, but you have a hard time working kind of with the public or people you don't know. You don't trust them very much. And to me, this experience, as uncomfortable as it is giving you a huge amount of social skills, because you have to constantly be changing and with who you're working with. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you can, in the hard times, I try to embrace the good that I'm learning from the hard situation. So I actually think you're getting a really good education in getting much more tolerant and flexible of dealing with folks in general, when your comfort zone tends to be working with people that you're much closer to. So there is some good coming out of this. I know it's really uncomfortable. It does not feel like there's a big bad thing coming down the road, but it is going to be uncomfortable for you until January, and then you'll see things start to pick up from there. So just hang in there.
Okay. You say that you see a move. Is it a far move? Because right now I am living with my parents because times are currently hard.
Yes, it is, but we're looking at a year and a half to 2 years down the road. So just kind of tuck that away. Don't fret about it. By the time it happens, 2 years, a lot of stuff can happen in our life. A lot.
That's
so
right.
It won't be traumatic. It won't be horrible.
Okay.
So you just have to get used to a bunch of change coming down the road at you. But it's going to be good. But change is hard. Even getting married, as great as it can also be very stressful and hard. So take care of yourself in this process. Do some fun things for yourself and make sure that you're enjoying life. Don't just wait for that solid job to come. Everything in our life has problems with it. The good always has a new set of problems with it. So another thing I would say to you is that it is really important for you to learn how to have fun, even when life is stressful, because sometimes you forget to do that. All right?
Thank you so much.
All right, sweetie. Thanks for calling in, and come back to Psychic Access if you need some more help.
I sure definitely will. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Thank you very much for calling, and thank you, Dr. Nona Marie. If you would like to reach Nona Marie, by all means, find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, Ohio.
Hi.
And may I ask who I'm speaking with, please?
Jeannie.
Well, hello, Jeannie. How may I help you?
Well, I have a question. I've been seeing a guy for 5 months now, and I didn't know if you've seen it going anywhere. Or...
Okay, let's find out. Let's find out. 1 second, please, while I pick up on this situation.
Okay.
Is it going anywhere? What is it? Oh. Well, you know what? The short answer, the quick answer to this is no. Not with the way, you know, things are sort of set up right now, unfortunately, because what I see coming up next for you is basically like a lot of work with this guy. I sense that he's going to be a lot of work. And so what I'm feeling here is that your regard for him might be a lot deeper than his regard for you. And also, I'm pretty sure that he's not going to be the most honest person with you. And now, you know, you could try to force the issue. You could try for it. I mean, I'm not saying not try for it. But what I'm seeing here is that if you did, then you would notice that the affection, the good things of the relationship would sort of drop to an ebb. Do you see? And, you know, you could continue like that for an arbitrary amount of time, really. You could drag that sort of thing out. But eventually, you're going to get fed up of that. And, you know, he's probably going to get fed up with it, too. There'll be clashes and fights. But, so this is a complex answer, Jeannie. And the reason is because, A, the relationship could have some longevity to it. Not permanence, but some longevity. And B, the longevity would come about probably from unhealthy things, sort of like a dogged determination to make this work type of deal, purposeful ignoring of red flags and things of that nature. That's what I'm picking up here for you. And really, okay. I see you just doing a lot of work to maintain this relationship. If you got any options right now, in other words, if your emotions have not engaged and you can just sort of detach from this, I think you will have better fortune elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I wish you all the best, Jeannie. Thank you for calling.
Have a good night.
Yes, ma'am. You as well. Okay. Maureen, you have a caller from Virginia.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Virginia.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fine. What's your name, please?
My name is Lakevia.
Hi, Lakevia. My name's Maureen. What can I help you with?
Yes, I have a question about my marriage because we have an anniversary coming up, and I'm trying to see, like, we're separated now. Where is it leading?
Okay, so you have an anniversary. What is it, like 5-6 year anniversary? Is it like a...
Oh, my God, it is. She's 11 years. 11 years.
11 years, and you're separated. Okay.
Yes. I've been my husband for a long time, and this, you know, marriage is work, but I'm trying to stick it in, trying to see where is it leading?
Right. Okay. So, you know, it doesn't sound like you... Okay, you said you're separated, but you're not... He needs... there's something... I do see that he went down some... He wasn't in... It doesn't look like he was in control of his life much recently. Like a runaway car. And almost like there's some betrayal... There's something that needs to be repaired here. Not with fantasy, but someone that... Like he needs to come about and... You know, make some things. You've been very patient with him. You know what? I do, unless there's somebody else around you, I do see you too. Is your anniversary coming up within the next month?
No, it's actually on Monday.
It's this Monday. Well, you know, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing within a 2 month period. So you're going to make it to the anniversary. You're still married. But I do see within a 2 month period, and my time frame could be off, but what I mean by that could be not that you have to wait 2 months, but I see you two, unless there's somebody, you know, like you're seeing on the outs, which I don't feel that that's the case. But,
oh, no, I'm a faithful wife.
Exactly. No. And I do want to say this. I don't see him involved with anybody, and I hope you know that too. He's just... He's having some internalizing things. But anyway, I do see you two reconnecting. And it's almost like a feeling of a new agreement is coming about, or it will be made. And this is exactly what you need. In fact, you know, in some ways, it's Monday. It may not be that you'd be able to do this. I see after your anniversary, and that's why I asked, it would be like, you know, next month or so. Like, I'm picking up on October, that maybe you would be having a, I see you having, you know, when you renew your vows, type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know it may sound pretty far-fetched right now because of what's going on. You have, like I said, your patience is extremely good, and I feel that it's okay that it's like that. Sometimes I'd say otherwise, but you've been waiting a while to see the fruits of your labor. You've been really hanging in there with him. And I'm not saying you're perfect, but I do feel that he's kind of had messed some things up just because of his own personal stuff going on within him, that he lost control of his life somehow, but it has nothing to do with you.
Yes, he has, and I'm a supportive wife, and I know, you know, we're all flawed, so I'm going to be there for my husband, but I just want to make sure that my marriage is going to go
I see definitely, even things are not what they appear to be. Although it doesn't seem like, you know, the story you told me, is things are not what they appear to be. My feeling is this, and what I'm seeing is, I see a lot of reason to have hope, and so you're going to see that light at the end of the tunnel. It's not going to be that much long, and I absolutely see January is going to be a very hard-earned victory for your relationship, meaning exactly what it says. You're going to have victory, but there's a new agreement that must be made, and taking it from there. It's like starting, having a new agreement, mutually something going on. It's just not a clean slate, but it's a new agreement of which direction. So I do absolutely, and I see a lot of happiness. I don't see you. You two are going to make it. You're going to make it.
That's good. Oh, my God. We have kids. We've been together so long.
Absolutely going to make it. But, you know,
you're
the stronger one. It's not going to be real, you know, wonderful. There's going to be ups and downs, but you're going to make it. You will make it.
Yeah, I know it's work. Yeah, honey, 11 years, I know marriage is work. I just want to make sure my husband just grow up a little bit.
Yeah,
put family first.
Yes, I see you making it, and I do see that. Definitely, I stick this one out. Hang in there. And I do feel really positive. What I'm seeing is really warm and really, really great. It really is. Okay.
That's awesome. So he's going to get together. Thank you so much. You're awesome.
Oh, no. Thank yourself. It's your reading. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. And we have a caller from Wisconsin for Nona Marie.
Hello, Wisconsin. What's your first
Hello?
Name?
Joanna.
Joanna?
Joanna, yes.
Okay, great. How can I help you? What's your question?
Yes, I have a question about my relationship with my children. Where you see my relationship going with my daughters?
Can you give me a first name, please?
Julia.
It feels to me like Julia is really wanting some distance from you right now. And I would say it's a good thing to give it to her because she's very willful and she's very stubborn at times. I have no idea where she gets that from. I would say to cut her some space, leave her alone. She will come back to you. She does tend to jump like head first into things and learn later. And I would say you have to let her do that. That's what she does. You're not going to change her. That's the person she is. I think she's going to be okay. I think she's going to have a couple of hard knocks coming up. But if you cut her some space and you just listen to her if and when she's ready to talk to you, you'll have a much better relationship with her. If you try to help her, you try to intervene, you try to give advice, she will be moving herself further and further away from you at this time. I think it's very frustrating for you. I understand that. But I also don't see another solution for you at this time. And I would say trust your upbringing with her. Trust what you've given her. It will take hold at some point.
Okay, because one thing, she doesn't live with me. She lives with her father. Uh-huh. And there was a period of time I wasn't able to see her. And
yes.
That's why I was wondering about my relationship with her. And that's, I'm trying to bring it to where she'd get closer to me than what
yes.
she is.
I think it's going to be a couple of years before that really works out. That doesn't mean that you don't reach out to her and that you don't try to stay close to her. You can do all of that. Just don't push it too hard and understand that, you know, sometimes the timing of relationships, we have to accept the timing that comes rather than forcing it to go on our own timing. And that's what I think the problem is here. So she will come back to you. You will get closer, just not right now. Not going to happen. But you know, like I said, reach out to her. Just no pressure. You're going to be okay
just
with her. But for now, it's just not going to go the way you like it to.
So even, okay, because one thing she changes when she's around just me and her, she will talk, you know, kind of my ear off and tell me things.
Yes.
And she doesn't want me to tell everything to... like her father and her stepmother.
That's
and,
right.
But then when she's around them, she's more distant from me.
That's right. And you have to let her be. She's protecting herself. She's surviving her environment. So you just got to trust that what she's doing is for a good reason. She's not doing it to be mean or punitive or anything. She's just trying to juggle her life right now. And she's in some hard situations. So she pulls away. She's, like I said, she's strong-willed also and very stubborn. And that's a good thing because it makes her a strong person. So she's
right.
going to be okay.
Do you feel that she's being brainwashed by them, though, in any kind of way?
No, she's too smart for that. She knows how to play the game.
Oh, okay.
She shuts down when she's with them, and then she talks to you when she's with you. But she doesn't want to pull that energy into where she's living because that puts her in an unsafe role in that relationship where she's living.
Yeah.
So she's kind
and
of
you make a lot of
herself.
Sense.
Yeah. So that says
that makes a lot
she's
of sense.
She's smart and she's not getting brainwashed. She's handling everything. It's sad that she does have to handle so much at such a young age, but she also is getting very strong from it and she has you. And when she has the space to be with you, she really is still herself with you and you're a godsend to her. So just don't push it. Let her manage it. Let her control it. That will make life much easier for her if she knows that
so
she doesn't have to worry about hurting your feelings.
Right.
All right.
Just take it kind of slow with her and don't push it. Just let her go
yes.
at her own pace with the relationship
yes.
with me and her.
And every once in a while, if you don't hear from her, you can just send her a little text. I love you. That's all you need to say. That's all she needs to hear. She knows the rest. She really does. All
makes
right,
a lot of
you've,
sense.
Been, you've been a good mommy. This is hard. You've been a good mommy, though. And it sunk in.
All right.
All right, sweetie.
Good. All right,
okay.
Thank you.
So if you need anything else, call back to Psychic Access and we'll give you a hand.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank
yep.
you very much. Thank you very much, Professor Nona Marie. If you would like to have a reading from Nona Marie, by all means, find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Georgia. Hello, who am I speaking with in Georgia? Good evening.
Hello?
Hello, may I ask who I'm speaking with, please?
Monica.
Well, hello, Monica. How may I help you?
I have a question about a guy I went to school with. I want to know how he feels about me. Do he really love me? And will
all
we
right.
have a relationship? His name is Jerond, J-E-R-O-N-D.
Okay. 1 second while I pick up on him, okay? Let's find out what
okay.
he feels about you. Yeah, he does. He is attracted to you. And he would. Does he really love you? That's hard to answer. He's definitely scared. That's what's holding him back. I think that he fears he'll have to make a lot of sacrifices and that you know his progress in life might get held up somehow. That's the big worry that he has. He's worried that you might be too controlling, perhaps, or too possessive. So he's scared. He's definitely scared, and that's going to hold him back. However, that's the bad news, okay? There is some good news here, Monica. I don't want to make it seem like it's all terrible. The good news is that, for sure, he does want to make progress with you. He's conflicted, is what I'm saying. And so his behavior is going to be conflicted. He's going to be one way on a certain day and another way, perhaps a different day sometimes. And he might be hard to predict. Does he love you? Truly love you? Man, it's too early for that question. You know, the question of true love, I don't know if anybody in the world is capable of answering what that is or defining it. Is there going to be a relationship? In time, there definitely could be. I think the best thing to do with this advice is to understand what's holding him back, his fear that you might try to block him from achieving some goal in life. You know, some men have these, I mean, I don't mean to, you know, talk bad about my own gender, but a lot of times we can have these crazy ideas in our heads well into our 40s. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be an astronaut, or I'm going to be a fireman. You know what I'm saying? And it's unrealistic. It's childish, but, you know, we hold on to these things. And so he's worried that you might be blocking that. And he's just worried about being sort of closed in and, you know, you being too possessive with him. So that's what I got for you here. I do expect that you guys will, you know, make some progress in the future. Even though he's scared, he's still going to want to make a move here. So, you know, it's just going to take a little time. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, all the time with him.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I guess at the time, some time passed. I guess he might change over time.
Yeah, he'll definitely change. I mean, because he's attracted to you very strongly. That's what you've got going for you. So that's going to be like a pull. That's a score for our team. However, you know, he's a bit scared that once the phrases that we men use are things like she's going to sink her claws into me, that sort of thing. That's what he's worried about. And if you act like you're going to do that, and he's going to hear them wedding bells and he's going to haul boogie. I promise you that. However, if you play it cool and you don't act like, you know, you're going to sink your claws into him like you, then that, you know, you're probably going to arouse him, his interest in you more. He's going to be more enthusiastic. So that's the way to do it with Juwarin, okay?
Okay.
I wish you all the best, Monica.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Okay, we have a caller from Illinois for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Illinois.
Hello.
Hi, may I have your name, please?
Yes, it's Joanne.
Hi, Joanne, and what can I help you with?
Yes, I'm calling about my boyfriend, Richard, who lives in the UK, and he can be an up-and-down kind of guy and come forward and pull back, and I just feel like, you know, he's pulling back again. Even though we have a trip planned, I just don't feel the warmth from him.
Okay, I see. So you have a trip planned, okay, but he's kind of dislocated or dis...
Yes.
Yeah, disengaging a little bit right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, still you have a trip planned. You know,
yes. Yes.
I see you two really, you two have a very strong bond. It is very strong. And there's a lot of incompletion around you, too, for things. You know, it's interesting. I said to my last caller I had, and it's not like I'm just saying it to everybody, but I do see for you two, you guys are going to make it. So if he's distant, I mean... There's something going on with him internally. It doesn't have, it's easy for me to say, don't take this personally, but I guess you would because he probably wouldn't communicate. There's something he's dealing with internally that most likely was from some long time past thing, who knows, that he's just feeling it and actually sorting himself out. I see January to be a real positive month. He sees you, guy, he really has a lot of respect for you. He sees you, he really does see you as a really you know, grounded, successful woman. There looks like there's some family issues he's having. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't quite understand because if there are, he doesn't share them very freely.
Right. So the only way you can go on it, that's the thing. I don't feel he was. It does look like there's some family stuff, his family. You know, I feel that I feel that he's going to turn himself around. He'll be a lot more engaging. And it looks like there's a little bit of stress with money or fear of money, not having it.
He has money. He has plenty of money, but he, like, stresses out very much about it.
You know, those people,
if I had that kind of money,
I wouldn't be worried a day in my life. But, you know.
So he has an ongoing fear, and that could be something that maybe he's trying to. That comes from somewhere in his. Who knows how he learned that one? You know, people that have these intense like things that don't really apply to them. But so mm-hmm. there's stuff he's sorting out. Like I said, I don't see that it's not about it. It's not his lack of feelings for you. I don't feel that. I do feel that he's going to start being on the same. He's on the same path as you as searching for a deeper meaning with your relationship. I do see a really good shift. It's going to be a little bit kind of uneasy because he doesn't talk to you, but I feel that he really does care about you. And you two do have a strong, like I said, connection that goes beyond physical even. Yes, you do have physical, but beyond that.
I know people, women go, what do you mean physical?
I don't know.
It's
very strong, but there's still incompletion. I think you're just heading in a direction that's kind of maybe uncomfortable, but you know what? I see you going into the next stage or the next cycle into your relationship will move forward. And come January, okay. It'll be a hard-earned victory. I talked about that with my last caller. Everybody's having these. But it'll be a hard-earned victory, but I see a serious step forward. I see you moving forward. So kind of like
our trip's in October, so hopefully that really plants a seed and
And I feel that it will be a really positive trip, too, for you. Right now, I guess, I wouldn't have any suspicions about him. There's nobody else around him. He's just going through some stuff, personally, that doesn't pertain to you. He is feeling so strong for you. So just hang in there. It'll be okay. You two belong together. Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'll try.
Yeah, you can do it. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Maureen, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much for calling. And you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. We have a caller from Florida for Nona Marie.
Hi, Florida. First name, please.
Hey. Patsy.
I'm sorry, say again.
Patsy, P-A-T-S-Y, Patsy.
Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
Yes, I want to see how my financial situation is going to improve. I'm separated, hopefully going through a divorce. We're good moving forward, but we're financially tight, and I want to see if that's going to improve. Kind of worried.
Yeah. You know, finances are going to be tight, and is there a house that you're selling or thinking about selling?
Potentially, yes. I have a house, but my girls don't want to sell it yet. I'm thinking about selling it in a year and potentially moving to PA. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. I would look at selling it sooner rather than later. And the way you can handle that is put it on the market, and if you get an incredible deal, take it. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't get an incredible deal, don't take it. In other words, kind of let the universe decide for you. But it does feel to me that selling the house sooner rather than later will definitely ease up your money situation. And it feels like your staying there is more sentimental or more convenient than anything else. But I do feel that that is going to make things a lot easier for you. And you are going to sell it eventually anyway, but I would start listing it very soon and just see what happens. List it a little bit high, and you can always say no. You know, if you panic, you can always say, forget it, I'm not selling it. But I think you're going to find a tremendous opportunity with that. Once the house sells, I do believe that you will be in really excellent shape at that point. It does feel to me that you'll be able to get another place at a very good deal, and that will give you some income leverage for yourself. So that's the only stuck point that I'm feeling right now is kind of your timing on when to list that house and when to sell it. So not so bad.
I'm just kind of waiting for my daughter to graduate from high school because it's kind of convenient. And then he was going to leave me with my little one. I said, we don't need this big house once she's graduated.
Right. I understand that's the plan. I would still, like I said, if you do that, if you do it your way with your plan, you're going to be cutting a lot of coupons and maybe eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, to kind of, I'm kidding, but you know what I mean, to really cut it down, the expenses down. I think you'll be much better off if like I said, you don't have to follow through with it, but if you list the house sooner rather than later, I still think you'll be able to find a way for your daughter to finish high school. It may not be as convenient, but I think it will really work out for the better for you doing that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, I know it's not the answer you were looking for, but like I said, you have nothing to lose by listing early. You can always say no to an offer. You can always take it off the market, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, Patsy, and thank you, Nona Marie. You can find Nona Marie at psychicaccess.com. I now have a caller from Missouri. Hello, who am I speaking with in Missouri? Good evening, Missouri.
My name is Kelly.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
My name is Kelly.
How may I help you, Kelly?
I just have, I'm a healer by trait of 12 years and have always kind of been grounded. I just recently got into some criminal things, which is kind of by association. And sure. I just kind of am uncertain about my future. And okay. I was curious as if you see me traveling and continuing on or whether I'm going to be stuck in Missouri with this by association type situation.
Very good. Let's see what we got going on here. Okay, 1 second, please, while I pick up on your situation, okay? 1 second. Okay. Bear with me. Picking up. Well, yes, I don't think you're going to be able to leave Missouri in the near future. Unfortunately, I think you're going to have to stay for a while at least. Now, near future is 3 to 6 months, you see, but there's not going to be any harm that comes to you. I think it's just going to be for technical reasons or, you know, for to explain or for bureaucratic or administrative purposes, but it's not going to be permanent. In other words, you're going to be at liberty to leave Missouri after this formal process is over with, and you're not going to suffer any misfortune or permanent type of any permanent misfortune at all. No, it's what is striking me here is an irritant in terms of its magnitude, in terms of its permanent sort of impact on your life. It feels very important right now. It's very troubling, very worrisome, but it's going to be one of those situations where you're going to come out on top at the end. So you can, in fact, just get rid of all of the worry now, because you are going to be okay in the end. But you're not going to be able to leave Missouri probably for another couple of months, maybe. But after 6 months or so, I don't see anything that would block you, or maybe, even 6 or 7 months or something like that. But,
you see me traveling? Because it's kind of a job to credential to travel. I'm a massage therapist as well. I massage a lot of artists. And this Missouri thing is kind of stopping that from being able to advance forward. So I was just kind of stagnant in a lot of unnervous energy and what to do. So I didn't know if you saw me traveling.
I didn't see you traveling in the short-term future, I'm afraid. I mean, I just didn't see that. Now, it's possible that, I could be misinterpreting something here, but I don't think so. I really think that, there's not really going to be, unfortunately, travel from Missouri for you in the short-term future, as much as I hate to say that. And, even though you are going to come out on top of this thing, there's still some unpleasant moments ahead. You're going to have to, unfortunately, deal with the repercussions of someone else's lies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I hate that happened to you, because one thing I really sense here is that you're sort of like a victim. And I hate to use the word victim, but, you didn't, I don't see you as being very culpable here at all of anything heinous. And, you were sort of wrapped up in it. So, unfortunately, the person's, the lies that you're dealing with are going to have some effect, but not permanent effect. And, again, I see you as being quite happy And, you know, and not too far in the future either, okay? I see you as being very happy, but I do see that your movement from Missouri will be impeded in the short-term future, unfortunately.
Okay, I thank you so much for your professionalism.
Oh, thank you very much for calling, and I really hope that you can maybe get an extra hour of sleep tonight because you're not worried so much. I really think that you can relax.
Possibly.
And I think this
I
is going to be an irritant for you, okay?
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. All right, we have a caller now from Ontario for Maureen.
Thank you. Hello, Ontario. This is Maureen.
Hello, my name is Corrine.
Hi, what's your name?
Corrine.
Corrine? Hi, Corrine. How are you? Oh, you're in the chat room, too. How are you?
Yes, I am. I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. What can I help you with?
I've been thinking, going towards my education. What do you see?
I'm sorry, you've been thinking about, I missed that part.
About the education?
Okay. You're asking about, with your changing your education? I'm sorry, I'm just, maybe my hearing. I'm not clear on, you're asking about your education or changing your education or?
Yes.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So, you know, this is what I'm seeing. It does appear like you're not, things aren't how you, whatever you were winning originally or whatever, it's not like how you thought it would, it's like everything you wish and desired didn't plan out like it did. Also, you know, you're in a midst of really changing, it's a pretty big it's not a transformation, it's a pretty life-shaking thing, but you're rebuilding your own foundation that's workable for you, not what everybody else's expectations are for what you should be doing. I see you really happy moving towards something like, especially in September, you're moving towards a direction that you really want to go in. So if you're thinking about changing, I don't know, you know, to what degree of what you're talking about, but I feel that it only matters about what you really want. And I see you being very successful if you decide to change courses. Is that what you're trying to do? Or is that what you're asking about, changing your whole course of direction on through education, what you first started out now, opened up to something new?
Yeah,
you know, without me even saying so, I mean, I feel that you're already on the right path because it just looks like it wasn't what you expected. Like I said, it's okay. But I feel that it's absolutely would be advantageous that you continue on and with the idea of doing that, but also I see you pursuing it by action and you look very happy doing so. Even if it doesn't appear like, you know, you may not think it may work out or be the best, but I absolutely see something really positive. I see a really great opportunity that will come from this out after. What are you in a undergraduate? Are you in a graduate degree program?
Undergraduate.
Okay.
The thing is, I'm a parent of two children, and I'm thinking going back to the paralegal course. I know it's going to be hard on me, but I'll get through it.
Okay, so you want to do the paralegal is what you desire.
Yeah.
I see this is good. I see a great opportunity. And not only that, I do feel anything to do with any woman that offers any opportunity, I see a woman that wouldn't be the most positive, but I see a man who's offering an opportunity to work alongside of him. I see him within the next 3 months and it may seem like an ordinary opportunity, but I feel it's going to be really great, and I feel that you're going to really fuse well together. It just comes naturally to you. You know, and if you start feeling like you don't have the strength to deal with this, because I feel a lot of good, I feel you're connected much better to what you're deciding to go towards. And if everybody, and I know maybe you don't have a lot of support from people, but I do feel that this is the kind of thing I see you having a lot of patience, but this will pay off. You'll see, you know, when the farmers, you know, they put in all the energy to, you know, to farm and they wait for the harvest. I see your harvest coming in definitely on this one. It's not going to happen overnight, of course, but I see you thriving along into the into the fall and into the first of the year. And I see you some really great opportunity in doing what you really want to do. Absolutely. But if there's anything, I see male influence being very supportive opportunity. This is what you fit well at. You fuse well at. Not to worry. You're okay. And it's what you want to do on your, how you feel it's important for you, not whatever everybody expected from you. And it's okay to be switched. This is the way sometimes you get to where you're supposed to be, you know? So I would, yes, continue on. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Corinne. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Corinne. And thank you, Maureen. And you can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. We now have a caller from California for Nona Marie.
Hello, California. What's your first name, please?
Hi, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. How can I help you? What's your question?
I'm just curious about like relationships, when I might actually find the one. Or
good question. It, you know, it doesn't feel to me like you have the one coming to you, because it feels to me like you're a very independent person in many ways. And on your bad days, it feels like you really, really, really want somebody. But on your good days, it feels like if you really had somebody, they would smother you a little bit, drive you crazy, because you like your space and you like to be alone. And I would really encourage you. You know, in the old days, we women, we used to get courted. We used to have men that would take us out and date us and show us around and seduce us and, you know, kind of put their best foot forward. And I honestly think that you should perhaps open up your horizon to the idea of having some suitors and some men to pick from for a while, rather than looking just for the one. When you're in a good mood, you are fabulous at playing. You have a wonderful sense of play and a wonderful sense of fun. And I know that we're in an era that really promotes, you know, get the one, be with your guy or your woman. But that hasn't always been the model in civilization. And for strong women and men and people who like their independence, sometimes it's better to have suitors for a while. And you can decide the level of intimacy that you want. I have a friend, she always has men that take her out, pick her up, go on vacation. She has a whole stable of them. And she doesn't use them, but she also just doesn't want to settle down. And they all know that. So I would honestly encourage you to consider another option for yourself and go have some fun. And I think there's men out there who would adore you, absolutely adore you, and aren't necessarily looking to be tied down. And I don't think deep down inside you are either. I think it would drive you crazy.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
So, you know, go have some fun with that. And, you know, I think you'll find somebody that you will spend the majority of your time with him. But I also think he's going to drive you crazy sometimes. And when that happens, you can go out with somebody else for a while. You can get a little breathing space. You know, we don't have to take the role model of all or nothing, you know, married or nothing. It doesn't have to be that way. And again, you can pick your levels of intimacy, what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, and work with that. But I think there's a lot of folks looking for that nowadays, too. So you wouldn't be alone doing that. And there's a wonderful site called Plenty of Fish. It's free. You can go there. And the whole site is free, and they've got wonderful people. And you can also, you know, go looking for people based on subject matter, like dog lovers. There's a dating site for that, etc. And go have some fun.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We courtship. Come on, be a woman. Dress up. Get courted. Have them pamper you. Tell them how beautiful you are, and then you don't have to yell at them about not putting the toilet seat down. You just send them home. I'm kidding, but you understand.
That's true. I guess I had recently tried that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I had recently tried that, but then I find myself actually getting into a relationship with one and then feeling that.
Yes.
Feeling smothered.
I think that if you continue, be a little patient, I think you will find a guy who is kind of like a best friend and a boyfriend. But I think you'll also realize, I feel he's going to be younger than you. And I do think that you will look at it and go, I don't want to live with him.
But I think you will find someone like that. You have to go fishing quite a bit. It is a pain in the butt doing that, but you can have fun while you're fishing. And I think you will find someone that will be a preferred person for you. But I don't see you settling down into a long-term relationship. If you push it, if you do, my prediction will be is that you will end up with somebody who you're going to have to take care of a lot. And that will make you sad. So be careful. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
If you meet somebody and you want to check them out and who they are, call back to Psychic Access and we'll help you out. We'll tell you if he's a good guy or not. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Extremely sage advice from Professor Nona Marie. By all means, find her at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller now from Virginia. And are you there, Virginia? Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hello. How may I help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I am trying to, I am changing careers and I put my resume out there, would love to do something in substitute teaching or something along that line. Do you see that panning out?
Okay, so you're asking me about a specific resume, a specific job, or the move in general?
I've put my resume out there and I've applied for a few substitute positions.
Okay, all right. One second, let me pick up on this and... And we'll see what you got coming, okay?
Okay, thank you.
One second. All right. Let's get this job. Well, fortunately, I will say that you are going to get a job, and and it is going to be in the field of education, it seems to me. That seems quite appropriate. And the timing is the only fuzzy issue I got here. I'm getting two somethings. Now that could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 months, it could be 2 years. So this is what I'm getting stuck on right now, and this is what I'm trying to work through, okay?
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's going to be probably more on the closer side. I think we can go ahead and eliminate the 2 years. Part of it.
Okay.
2 months. 2 months sounds fairly appropriate. 2 weeks also feels kind of appropriate. So right there, we can narrow it down from maybe 2 to 8 weeks or so. 2 to 8 weeks or so. And I see that, you know, it's not just going to fall in your lap. There's going to be some effort required from you, which means that you can still bungle things in the end, in the interview, for example. But I see that if you make the effort, in other words, if you prepare for the interview, if you dress nice, etc., then you're going to get it. That's a good thing. In other words, you know, if you put forth an honest effort, a good one, you know, you don't have to scale the Empire State Building or do anything unnatural to you or, you know, like be a superhero, you know, just common sense sort of interview advice and you should do fine.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. We wish you the best, okay?
Thanks. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, that does it for us for this week. We thank all of you for listening. And I would like to thank also Doug C. He always works behind the scenes. And when I say works, I mean that with a capital W. The poor fellow toils. And thanks to him, we've made Psychic Viewpoint a much, much better place to be. So thanks, Doug. Next week, I want to say you have a show, don't you, Professor Nona Marie? Isn't it your guest?
I do.
Oh,
yes.
Please tell us about that.
It is Dr. Neela Peek, and she is a clinical psychologist who started off very straight-laced and got introduced to energy and energy work and uses that in her therapy with people. And I love that combination. It's hard to find a really far out spiritual person who understands about energies and entities and spirits and also has training in psychology, and people with insurance can actually go see her. So that's very cool too.
I tell you.
Wonderful.
Between you and Maureen, you guys just fascinate me to death with your shows. I cannot wait. Join us next Thursday for the Psychic Viewpoint. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Stephen, for hosting.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy it.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.